idea. What if you get away with this? Is you strolling down the street and every white guy you see just kicking as hard as you fucking could in the nuts, and then go, "That's from Israel."
All right. Good evening, everybody. Who we got on the Skype phone here?
Good evening.
Good evening. That would be Masher.
How is everybody this evening?
Hey, Masher.
How you doing, Tootsie?
Hey, if you were on the basketball team, you'd be a member of the Denver Nuggets.
I love it.
Love it. Just love it.
Hey, you guys tell me real quick, is there too much noise here? Because I know there's a lot. There's like a lot of background noise.
It's not unbearable, at least not for me.
Okay, well, it's kind of unbearable to me because it's dodgeball, and apparently the hometown team is playing or something. I don't know. Anyway, but I'm in a like a sports bar in the back corner in a major international airport.
Wow.
I'll be stuck here for about the next 4 hours, and I've been stuck here already for about 6 hours. And I'm going to write something about this whole experience. But let's just suffice it to say that Alzheimer's is a very ugly thing. I have a good friend that, or he's been a pretty good friend as of late, and I met him only 5 months ago, but we hit it off really well. And a lot of you may have heard me speak of him, like if you listen to the show or anything, I don't know. But he's had Alzheimer's and a few other neurological diseases, and I don't know, today he I'll write more on it later, but let's just say he didn't recognize me. I came out here to see him and stuff, and he was doing okay when I talked to him before I left, but he's been off and on and stuff. But man, I don't think I've ever really had my heart broken before today, but it's quite profound, and I definitely know. I never really understood before what it meant when people said that people with Alzheimer's, the family and friends of people, like, they go through it just as much. So I never really understood what they meant, but man, that's every bit of it. So
I'm sorry.
Anybody
to hear
got
that,
any
man.
Good jokes? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Why did the chicken cross the basketball court?
Please tell me this is. Please tell me you have a good punchline to this, because there needs to be if there isn't.
Because he heard the ref was blowing fouls.
Oh, man.
All right. Right. Well, I'm going to deduct a half a point because it has nothing to do with our chicken-loving friends who actually play in the NBA, but otherwise, full credit, yeah. Well, I'm glad to be back on a DNS Free Talk Live Friday edition. This is the Whiteness Studies edition, and that background noise you hear, God forbid, I hope you don't hear any, but if you do, it's dodgeball, and Phoenix and the Nuggets are playing, but, you know, between you and
the
I...
The Nuggets!
Yeah.
Get a haircut!
They're all Nuggets.
Is that the
Nuggets? Isn't that ironic? It's Nugget Ball.
It's the Stink Nuggets.
Right. It's Nugget Ball, yeah. And, hey, Masher, what was that you said, we were talking about the, instead of an opposition forum, like a Nugget forum, that could be like opposition forum.
Yeah, but it'll be just Nuggetry.
Nuggetry, okay, yeah, there you go. can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you're really loud.
You're please. Here.
Okay, good. How about me? Am I okay? Or
everybody sounds good here.
Okay, so, hey, wait. Hang on, I'm using my sexy mic. Let me get my other one.
Actually, you sound sexier now.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. I appreciate it, and thanks for bearing with me. And I especially want to thank On the Path of Truth for hosting this call, because I could not have done it tonight. I'm on the airport wireless system, which will go up and down and up and down. So this show definitely, like a lot of other shows, couldn't go off without him. And as well as the content that we're going to be hearing from those guys, including Panzer Faust, Masher, and Mark, if we can get him. Is he not on now or what?
I left him a voicemail on his phone, so hopefully he'll be tuning in a little bit. It's
early back there, so he's probably still working or whatever.
But then again, he normally answers when I call. Maybe I should pause and try to call him.
He normally answers when you call.
Normally.
Okay, well, whenever Mark comes on, there will be plenty of testicle assaulting action.
Just straight testiculars.
Right, we'll go straight to the testicles as soon as Mark comes on.
Well, I don't know if anybody else has gotten the message so far, but the Associated Press has decided to acknowledge Shannon Christie and Christopher Newsom murders, but not quite acknowledge them for what they are. They've decided to acknowledge our attack on the Associated Press for not covering the story. So if you go to the show blog, and that's FTL, coast to coast .blogspot.com, you can read all about it. But it's actually very encouraging news. And if anybody has seen what Yankee Jim found earlier, the blogs are just, I mean, we got like page after page after page. If you search either name, you know, Shannon Christian or Christopher Newsom, it's just page after page after page of why is the media covering this up? What the fuck is going on? You know, F the media, hush crime, hate crime. It's amazing. So this story has definitely taken on a life of its own.
Oh, yeah, and I know that I posted the video I made, even though editing was a little off. And I put Adam Humans information on there, and that's the guy that runs the AP in Knoxville and some filthy kike. And a few people sent me messages, hey, I already called him. Hey, I already called him, you know. So thanks a lot. So.
And now you think about
good.
That.
And
think about that, though, guys. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I got it all from Panzer's blog, actually. I got it all from Panzer's blog.
Oh, by the way, you can also get there from coasttocoast.coolkidsrebel.com. It goes directly to their you guys' blog. But, man, you think about that, how tone-deaf and, I mean, what is it? Is it tone-deafness or is it chutzpah? What is it in the media that causes them to so openly and brazenly to not cover this,
comfort.
And yet when they do turn around and cover it, they're covering us talking about it. They're not upset about the murders, they're upset about us talking about it. And they're not even trying to hide that as per the link on coasttocoast.coolkidsrebel.com, the Panther Files blog. As per the link here I'm reading, they're openly just, you know, they're not upset about the heinous crime in itself. It's us talking about it. It's the crime.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
Where are we in this country?
I mean, if you look at it from our perspective, it's just so Jewy for them to be that way. Like, you know, if do you guys mind if I read this real quick?
I don't.
Please do.
For the listeners. Here's this. The part I love is that the Associated Press is trying to distance the Associated Press, and what they're doing is they're just blaming the mass media, you know, because most people don't know about the Associated Press. They don't understand that they are the mass media. But I'll read this anyway so everybody gets a good grip on how this is going. Knoxville, Tennessee Associated Press. In a powerful demonstration of the way the Internet has opened up the mainstream media to intensive second-guessing, bloggers are charging that news outlets have ignored the rape and murder of a young Knoxville couple because of the racial implications of the story. The two victims were white, the five defendants are black. The critics include mainstream conservatives such as National Review and white supremacists. They have drawn comparisons to the Duke LaCrosse rape case and wondered why the killings of Shannon Christian, a 21-year-old University of Tennessee student, and her 23-year-old boyfriend Christopher Newsom are not getting the same attention from what the bloggers regard sneeringly as the liberal media.
Hey, can I interrupt you here for a second? Real quick. Now, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, they are so, it's almost frightening how comfortable they are saying this and believing that, and I guess knowing that people are going to, you know, render it to themselves the way this writer is rendering it. You know, they're so comfortable and sure that the reader isn't going to go, hey, wait a minute, I don't know about this.
Right.
I did hear about the Duke lacrosse thing for a year, and nothing ever came of it. You know, what is going on here? They're so sure that someone's not actually going to do that. And also, what you said at the very, I guess that was up here at the first paragraph, think about that. If this weren't a slanted article, they wouldn't have said the second-guessing of the media. They would have said the scrutiny of the media. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, they're making it out to be just like, you know, oh, here we go, silly white supremacist and silly conspiracy theorist, you know, put on your tinfoil hat. There's nothing tinfoil about this. I mean, these kids were murdered and raped and tortured. You know, and it is. It's just pure chutzpah. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I tried it. I put my tinfoil hat on, and I got, you know, the conspiracy theory. And no, those two kids were still raped, murdered, had cleaning products poured down the girl's throat, had her breast cut off, had his penis cut. You know, 5 trash bags burned, shot, beaten. That was still all true, so I took it off because it didn't exactly change anything, huh?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's... They're basically making anything out that is linked to the words white supremacy or white supremacist out to be just second-guessing retarded bullshit, which there's nothing retarded about this. This happened. You know, this is known that it's happened. I just got a link from Yankee Jim. He says, police, rape was not a random act. Latalvis Cobbins' brother, it would appear. His name is Elroy Cobbins. I mean, it could be. God only knows. But
they named somebody a human name, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I'm going to actually post this on the show. On the show.
You guys got something wrong with Latalvis?
Oh, no. I had a great granddaddy, Latalvis, I believe.
But it is true. If you look at these two bugs, I mean, they look the same. This is just totally unrelated to the case, but it may not be. It says the rape and robbery of a woman in Memphis Country Club neighborhood Friday afternoon wasn't a random crime as first believed. Elroy Cobbins, 30 years old, the second man charged in the attack, knew the victims through a relative who had done work for them. This is why you don't hire bugs to work at your house. You know, no matter how nice the bug is working at your house, I guarantee his cousins and his friends are not nice like him.
He was scoping it out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He was charged
definitely on the down low.
Right.
Well, and you two freaks have got me using the word bugs. I've totally totally brought that into my vocabulary. Thanks a lot.
You know what's funny?
I like bugs or jabrones.
Jabrones is good too. You know what else? You gotta love groids, you know? Everybody, people don't say it, but when they hear it, they know exactly what bug or groid means.
Oh, yeah, that's a good standby.
Or Mook.
But, you know, this guy, his name is Elroy Cobbins, and he's in Memphis. I'm assuming he's related. It's on this just in. Yankee Jim posted. Everybody go check that out when you get a chance. And you know, again, in Signal, you know, the guy Signal who has the, he's kind of a newer guy on the forum, and he says it, you know, yet another reason not to hire niggers.
Yeah, I really like him, too. He posts some really good stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says it, you know, yet another reason not to hire niggers, just like I was saying. That's, you know, I don't care how nice the bug is that you hire to you know, weed your garden. If his book friends come to pick him up, they're going to scope your house out. It's the way it is. You know, you could have you could come across the nicest book in the world, and there's a 95% to 99% chance that all the books he knows are trouble. Yeah, and it's just simple fact. But anyway, not to get off the subject. I just thought that was interesting. Good find, Jim.
And this and we know that this is the brother of this other monkey.
We don't know, but it's just kind of convenient.
It's probably at least a cousin, you know.
It's convenient that he's a rapist and he happens to look like Latalvis. You know, has some...
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they all look alike. Well, let me guess, he has big nostrils and big lips and looks real stupid.
Guilty.
Well, you know, like you were saying, like when you use the word groid, like they all know what you're talking about. Dude, they know what you're talking about when you say you people.
Right. I mean,
because they know we don't like them. They know no one in their right mind likes them.
Well, it's a guilty conscience thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys have ever, do you guys remember the study? I can't remember who posted it. It was a great study. I think it might have been Alex, actually. That, or it might have been on Goyfire. It was a study that showed that people of different races, when a white guy gets around a black guy, a crowd of black people, or when white people are around black people, and vice versa too. Or no, it wasn't vice versa. It was actually the opposite. But when whites are around blacks, the part of your brain that's active during, like, you know, severe stress.
Oh yeah.
It goes active.
Oh yeah. Dr. McDonald just published a really nice 40-page essay, and I see that makes it sound real pretentious, but it's really well done. It's very, very, very readable, and I definitely recommend everybody download that PDF. I link to it off of my blog, and you can also get it at the dang it, I'm trying to remember exactly. Man, I've been up since 4 this morning. it's not the Occidental Quarterly, or maybe it is. Shoot, I'll dig it up. Hang on.
While you're digging it up, let me read this. Let me continue reading this. I'll stop I'll start where I stop. You know, it says they're not getting, Newsom are not getting, the Christopher Newsom, Santa Christian murders are not getting the same attention with the bloggers regard sneeringly as the liberal media. Now, keep in mind, like GC said, or like Dietrich said, they're just trying to smear us with these words, sneering, sneeringly, and then in quotes it says, oh, that's right, the victims were white, several conservative blogs have observed.
Yeah, but when has one of us said the liberal media?
Yeah, no,
without being corrected either.
Yeah. You know?
Hello, is this CNN.com?
Hi, Marv. How are you, Marv?
Yo, motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers. Hey, Mark, did you hear this? The Associated Press is acknowledging the Shannon Christian Christopher Newsom murders.
And apparently we're the bad guys.
Yeah, and not only are they acknowledging it, they're totally honing in on the fact that we are second guessing, in their words now in this article, we are second guessing what we sneeringly call the liberal media.
Not criticizing, not analyzing. Casually noticing.
hey, quick question. What's the name of the author?
Duncan Mansfield, actually, which is interesting because that's not Jewy at all.
Well, I think that was on purpose. Come on.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, if they put a Jew in there, we would be all over that in a second.
Yeah, it was probably Harold Rothberg and Stein and Gold and Silverstein. So I said, hey, Duncan, man, I need you to back me on this one. Okay.
Well, here you go, Mark. I'm gonna post a link to the article in the Boss Cat. So there you go. So check it out. But you know, it just goes on, and then it compares it to, and then it gives us a comparison. It says it was bloggers who undermined CBS anchorman Dan Rather's 2004 report about President Bush's National Guard service digging up evidence that the documents may have been forgeries. And next year, CNN chief, what the hell is this? Chief Eason Jordan.
Hang on here. So what they're doing now is they're linking us to those evil neocons, actually, because
right, it's also known as unrelating. Local media in Knoxville have covered developments in the car. This is where it gets good. This is where they lie. Local media in Knoxville have been covering developments in the carjacking case since the bodies were found. The Associated Press ran stories that were transmitted nationally, but the killings have received scant attention from other media outlets. Now, this is where the Associated Press is wiping their own ass from the charges that we are putting on them.
Good Lord.
Can you believe this shit?
That's
what it says, man. Read
it right there.
It says the Associated Press ran stories. Please, you know what? Mr. Duncan Mansfield, show me where the fucking articles are that the Associated Press has been running nationally on this at all. No, last I checked, people in Knoxville don't even know about these murders.
Oh, it's running nationally in, like, Madagascar and shit like that.
Oh, it's running nationally. it's running nationally in our blogs is what it's doing.
It's running nationally in white nationalism is what it's doing.
So here we go. Here's a quote. Ready? The Internet has been basically chastising the mainstream media now. It seems since the Internet opened up, says...
Like we're religious.
Says Ali Cohen.
You can really tell that this is for, I'm sorry, go ahead. You can really tell this is for British, European, an audience too, because they're using all these liberal, these terms to mere American conservatives and
absolutely.
Religious neocons. And yeah, that sounds like us, right?
Right. And
anyway,
and
I apologize.
That's okay. And it says, you know, they've been basically chastising the mainstream media now, it seems, since the internet opened up, says Ali Colon at the Poynton Institute, a journalism think tank in St. Petersburg, Florida. Down your way, Dietrich. Yeah, here we go. You know, now they throw the Jews in, of course. I mean, as soon as somebody has an electronic internet megaphone, the opportunity to throw brickbats at the media just got amplified from the backyard over the fence to an email or blog. This isn't necessarily new, but I think what you're witnessing may be an increasing amount of that taking place.
Oh, first of all, Ari Cohen, it is new, and you haven't seen it yet, buddy. You haven't seen it. You wait. I've been reading a lot. Yeah, go ahead. Man.
I know you're frustrated, dude.
I'm happy because what they're going to be looking for, they're going to be looking for toothless rednecks and sheets. This is how far they've come. They're going to be looking for people dressed in short ties and Nazi uniforms. They're going to be looking for people with 60 IQs. They really think that stuff. And that's what they're going to be looking for, and they'll never see us coming.
No, they will not see us coming. They will not see us young, good-looking white people. I can't wait.
Well, speak for you. I have a face for radio, but I am a young white fellow. So.
Yeah, Panza, what are you saying? You're not going then? Keep that down on the street.
just so you guys know, I actually the due date for my son is today. He did not come, and I had to set. We had to set a date for labor.
Induced labor,
which will be Thursday the 24th. So yes, I will not be going. I will most likely be sitting in the hospital or coming home with a brand new, soon to be white nationalist son.
That's no excuse.
Congrats on your son, dude.
No, thank you.
Congrats very much.
I can't wait to be another crazy, like that crazy uncle everybody's got that I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was the gay uncle that everybody's got. Are you sure?
Hey, Tootsie Nugget, watch yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, you should name your kid Nugget.
you don't want to name anybody after Rob. Come on.
Come on, man.
He's also not the type of guy. Panzerfaust is the type of guy I would dare things. You know, there's people you dare things to, and there's people you don't dare things to do. Panzerfaust strikes me as one of the people that you don't dare to do things.
No, definitely not.
We'll have more white babies. P.S.
Yeah, I'm working on it, man. Everybody needs to do that. Everybody needs to have white children, and they need to be raised properly.
Pastor, please.
On May 26th at 3 p.m. in Knoxville, Tennessee, join us for an event the controlled media can't ignore. The Rally for Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom.
Log on to VNNforum.com for more information.
Vanguard News Network.
We are the
good guys.
Yes, we are. Here's another thing you guys will love about this article. It goes through and tells you about what happened, blah, blah, blah. They were killed, just, you know, tortured, mutilated, burned, butt-fucked, face-fucked, you name it, by these filthy bugs. And then it goes on to say, some internet posts.
But worst of all, they talked about it, Dan.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, listen to this. You'll love this one, Dietrich. Some internet postings have suggested the killing should be treated as a hate crime, but Police Chief Sterling Owen said, "We have no evidence to support the notion that this was a race-based crime. We see this as a cold-blooded murder." I don't see how this and this prick, this freaking scumbag. I actually have his webpage. I'm gonna post that on the show chat for everybody to go and you know, make sure to download that picture, download his information, and put it on your blog, please. There it is, kids. Enjoy, please. Let's.
And this is police chief.
Yeah, this is a police scumbag.
Sterling.
I mean, he doesn't look real Jewish in the picture, but when you got a name like Sterling Owen, I don't know, man. That's pretty Jewy, if you ask me.
Yeah. Well, I
you
mean,
know
my,
what I mean?
my
Well, he's definitely an ugly fucker, Alan.
Yeah, he's ugly, but he looks pretty Gentile. But you know, either way, really, what the fuck does it even matter at this point? The guy's a
he's
basically
he's a tool.
He's a Jew poop sucker, is what
exactly.
he is. So it doesn't matter.
Well, here's my take on it. I like Linder's way of putting it, where he says, you know, don't be really sure, like when you call people a Jew, because and then I chime in and say, because it's a very serious charge, and yet at the same time, right? And yet at the same time, it really doesn't matter sometimes. And
right.
I'm fine with saying, when day of the rope comes, it'll be more people who. You know, look like our parents and grandparents who will need to be addressed just from just speaking of sheer numbers. You know, there's a lot more Shabbos Golem out there than there are actual conspirists of this evil conspiracy here. So that's my thing. Don't ever get wrapped up in the but you know it's white people too. Yeah, but they don't. They're doing it for their own corrupt and greedy. And misplaced reasons. They don't actually have ingrained in them this this conspiracy of evil that's hell bent on taking basically every situation and messing it up and making it worse. I mean, we can't, you know, they can't exist around any type of situation. We are incompatible. We're incompatible.
Yep.
Holy, any type of white picket fences, anything like that, we are wholly incompatible. And by the way, while I'm running on and off, I uploaded and posted the link to this Kevin McDonald PDF to this thing he wrote. I believe it was for the Occidental Quarterly, and I was referencing that for something. There's so much good, and there's so much meat in this 40 short pages that it's just too good to pass up. And you'll have another arrow in your quiver if you read it, as far as the Jew.
Well, thanks for that information.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But
you
I've been reading Mass Communication in America and American Social Thought, and while it is a Jew-friendly text, it's very good looking at the historiography and a lot of the research behind media that had been done in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and subsequently. And one thing that really stood out at me, and I was reading it on the plane out here, it just jumped out at the page like very few things I've ever read. But they were talking about how people who listen to radio shows and watch television, and remember this is like in the 30s, this is early media studies, these people... they noticed in the research that the people watch these or use media to get away from the drudgery of everyday life and to analyze the problems that the people were having, and that there was a really close linkage between the problems people had in everyday life right in front of their faces and then the ones that they almost seem to be relieved by certain types of stories in the media. Now, that certain type of story that they went on to explain, I completely recognize in the memes that you see over and over and over again. That, you know, when you it basically explains why when you watch TV, look who's messing everything up, but the blonde guy who's causing all the hate everywhere. And, you know, it's why the blame for things in the media, it's not just because they hate us, or, I mean, that's enough, but it's not something simple. It's a rather complex, they've studied these things, they've looked into it, and basically, the more multi-cult and the more pissed off and the more, like, everyday normal white people, like, hate what's going on around them, the more they can effectively... basically blame it on us in the media and blame it on us, people who can see things and describe it properly, describe what's going on. They're able to offload that criticism off of the actual thing that's causing them, and that's the power of media, that they can actually do that. And I'm going to dig up this, I'm going to re-get this text, and I'm going to type some of it up while I'm on the plane back home late tonight or early tomorrow morning, and I'm going to post this stuff when I get rested and stuff, and it is profound. And
awesome.
It's scary, that, and it's also great that they're losing this grip and they're basically shitting themselves. I mean, if you read some of the reports out from how in the first quarter of this year they lost 2.5 million viewers. Now you think about that on the top of the fact that people are being born every day.
Well, you know what my take is on that?
Yeah.
I say that if you notice that article, they're losing it to CBS, Fox, NBC. They're not losing media viewers. They're losing them to NFL TV. They're losing them to all these specialty channels, the Cooking Network, the Jews Hating White People Network, the Jews Are Gods and Should Be Worshipped Network. I get the feeling they're probably losing those viewers to specialty channels.
Well, that's not what it says, though. I mean, there has been that movement for a long time, but
I hope it is true, man. I really do.
I think when all is said and done, it's going to be amazing how few people actually ever watch cable. I mean, if you've ever looked at like Nielsen ratings and stuff like that, and okay, I'm totally going to be pulling numbers out of my ass, but these are like ballpark figures. When O'Reilly, cleans house one night, he might get like 3 million viewers.
Right.
And that's cleaning house. I mean, that's owning the cable airwaves. If ABC, CBS, or NBC, one of the big three, if they got 20 million on a broadcast, they would be hitting an alarm.
Right.
So it's a huge difference in the market and the
penetration. Well, Dietrich, they would be getting that, but American Idol gets 30 million viewers each time. So.
Right. But it's also on broadcast television. It's on one of the major networks. Something on cable just doesn't get the numbers. Like, at any one night, like on ESPN or something, I mean, you might have 100,000 viewers, and that's acceptable. And they play it up, man. They fight for that, those 100,000 or a few 100,000 viewers. And but you know, on the other hand, they do tend to be people with more money, so they can charge advertisers more money because they can target. It's a targeted 100,000 people that like sports and have some money and leisure time. But still, the numbers are hugely different. And if you've got 2.5 million people getting out of the major networks, and I don't see them going to cable. I really don't. The numbers just don't back that up, and neither does that study doesn't even allege that.
Well, I hope
they're going to the internet. And if just on a cursory glance, like, you know, I spend all day and night on college campuses. I get to see every day. I get to see like two different campuses and two different groups of students, and none of them consider a newspaper anything but a joke. It's old by the time it's printed.
Right.
None of them have televisions. They watch YouTube and Google videos and stuff on Facebook and stuff. I mean, they don't watch TV and they don't give a damn about mainstream news.
Well, that's good
news. They think it's a joke. They think it's even more of a joke than we do, if that's possible.
It is a fucking joke.
They don't even see. We laugh at it. They don't even consider it as existing in their universe. And you have to understand what a profound difference that is. Away from people that are, say, like our parents' age, okay?
Right.
Now, our parents' age, it's not quite it's not really an exaggeration to say if it's on a major network news broadcast, it's reality. It's as good as gold. If they say aliens landed on the White House lawn that morning, it's getting less and less that way. But for people their age, I mean, you know, Tom Brokaw and
Dan Rather.
Well, who was the guy back in the? He's retired now.
Walter Cronkite.
Cronkite, yes.
Oh man,
thanks, Truth. Yeah, Walter Cronkite. I mean, that was like it was like handing down the tablets from Yahweh himself. I mean, historians have actually pegged the moment we lost the Vietnam War in 1968.
And that's Cronkite the way it was.
We lost the war, even though it was a win. That the actual event he was talking about was a tactical victory for the United States and the Allies in Vietnam. Not making any other saying on the war other than just that one analysis about, they're saying, you know, Tom Brokaw with that one broadcast lost war. But these things, for our parents, they were able to trust these sources.
Yep.
And they were able to, and there have been times in American history when it was like this, and where, you know, the media was all pretty much coming from the same direction, and it was like this at the very beginning of the United States, and then it was like this again during from the last quarter of the 19th century through all the way through the Cold War, especially. You had the Cold War consensus, and guess what the two times were when you had Democrats had their media, Republicans had their media, different people had their own flavors of media. One is now, and the other one was right before the Civil War. That's New Jive.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, though, is nowadays, you know, the media, you know, and all of them pretty much are pushing, you know, the war, except for a few. You know, you've got Lou Dobbs and a few others that are, you know, that are really fresh, putting a lot of pressure with regards to, like, illegal immigration and stuff like that.
Hey, Mark, did you see Lou Dobbs last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was watching him on TV, but the sound wasn't on. Man, he looked hot. He looked like my dad when I told him I just wrecked a car.
Oh, yeah.
Your dad looked hot when you told him you wrecked the car?
I think that.
Not sexy, you moron.
I mean, he looked like, you know, he was about to sit down and have a little talk with me, and he was kind of like that reaching for his belt kind of look, you know, sizing me up kind of. I mean, Dobbs looked livid, like he could barely contain himself, and he had these real mega appeaser type eye. He had a, was it Brownback? He had the Arizona senator on that was for, not McCain, but this Arizona appeaser on that's been pushing this these Z visas, which are what they're calling this shit. But go ahead, Mark. I was just asking because I would love to see a rebroadcast of that or get some kind of report as to what his demeanor was, because he looked like he was about to throw something.
Well, here's the interesting thing I'm seeing right now is that you've got the media, and no matter who it is, they're in to a certain degree, they're all backing the war. And if you don't back the war in Iraq, you're anti-American and this and that. But when you look at the statistics and you look at how people are voting, you know, 70% of Americans are saying, no, fuck you guys. You're full of shit, and they're not buying into the lie anymore. It's just kind of like how Ron Paul's making all this traction, and people are just kind of, you know, they're making comments like, oh, he's the, what's the one, the Indian guy that was on Idol that was on the news because he sucked, but, you know.
Sanjaya?
Yeah. I think he was a fag, too, the way he talked, but anyway. That's neither here nor there, but they were making references to him in that manner because they hate the fact that someone like him really understands not just economics and politics here nationally, but internationally. You know, when he told, when he said that, you know, they don't hate the Muslims don't hate us because of our freedoms. They hate us because we're occupying their country. And we've been doing that now for almost 20 years. Well, maybe not 20, but more like 15, right?
Yeah.
30
yeah.
years. Kidding
oh,
me?
A lot. Man, we've been, well, it depends, like military occupation or interloping involvement. You know, it's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins, but we've been through, you know, we've been interlopers over there since the 1920s and 30s, which no one knows that. I mean, us here tonight know that. Like, other people, they look at you like a confused dog when you tell them that. It's amazing. But I'm glad you brought up Ron Paul. I saw some clips of him from South Carolina, and I was pulling my hair out because I'm originally from the Carolinas, and I'm originally from the Carolinas, and he was talking about, you know, we shouldn't treat people the way we, and I'm like, come on, man, come on, you need to say. You need to bring up some biblical imagery here. And this is just from myself to Ron Paul. Buddy, you should have said, we need to do unto others. And then the whole crowd would have went, oh. Because they don't get it unless you say stuff like that. You know what I mean?
He kind of did when he made the statement that...
You have to use that verbiage. You have to.
Right. Oh, you're saying, yeah, you use religious terminology and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
if
you
want to
say treat people like you should say we should do unto others. Come on. I mean, I do that. I get great success with that just in, like, interpersonal type of political discussion.
Well, real quick, I hate to cut the subject. I got to read this to you guys. You'll find this real interesting.
Sure.
Shannon Christian's father, Gary Christian, wore a Confederate flag T-shirt to the first hearing for one of the defendants, and then pointed at
that,
and then pointed at the man as if firing a gun. But family,
I would like to welcome him to the broadcast tonight. I'm almost now. I'm almost sure he's tuning in, sir. Welcome. Sympathies to you and your family. Honestly,
well, listen to how the Associated Press smears him after that. But family lawyer Joe Kosnes said Sandy Christian's parents have repeatedly said they do not believe their daughter's killing was race related. So they're basically calling him a two-faced racist after his freaking daughter was raped, tortured, and killed. This is what the media does. They deny it. They deny it coverage. And then when they decide to talk about it, they bash us and boo-hoo about how we're calling them out on it. And they take the victim's father and drag him through the fucking coals. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
These assholes need to hang.
They have no shame.
Kikes don't have souls.
No shame.
I learned that the hard way.
Well, and look what they did last year. Or was it last year that the Duke rape case was going on? Oh, my God, this poor woman. And, you know that these white men did it when everybody's saying something doesn't smell right. And now look at the case. It's gone out. It was all bullshit.
What's that lawyer that read?
One of those people saying something doesn't smell right was the chick who was with her.
Yep.
And yet they're still like, no.
We should try and get one of those guys on the show.
We really
should.
That'd
be interesting.
Who's the one with the tinfoil hats? I mean, we're describing something that actually happened. I mean, good Lord, at least we're that much down to earth. I mean, right?
Let me ask you guys a question, seriously, okay? They, during the whole process, they raped that guy. They raped a guy. And then they cut off his genitals, killed him, and then set him on fire.
Ah, but you know what? This article denies that. It says, some internet postings have suggested the killing should be... Well, I'm sorry. It says, similarly, claims made over the internet that the couple were sexually mutilated are absolutely not true, says John Gill, special assistant to District Attorney Randy Nichols. These assholes who say it shouldn't be treated as a hate crime are also saying that they never cut his dick off.
No. Now, who said that? The district attorney or the prosecutor?
The district attorney.
The assistant district attorney.
Don't we have copies of the police reports? Aren't there some PDFs
not
out
that
there?
I've seen, and
I should.
I've been yelling about this for
Von
a while.
Bluven's had a copy.
Does he?
Yeah, he said he did on one of the shows. Maybe he can. In fact, I sent him an email and asked him if he'd send it to me, but he acts like he doesn't know what I'm talking about. But
Bluvins, if you're listening, man, you're welcome to call in tonight with
any
commentary.
Yeah, I'd like to have that.
I listened to I got to hand it to him. I listened to his last show. I don't know if it was his last show, but his show has greatly improved. I mean, it was a painful listen, like. Late last year, earlier this year, I think, for my taste, and he's definitely stepped it up a notch, that guy. So I want to give my nigga Von Bluven some props on his show because he's definitely doing a good job with it recently.
Yeah, what's his website over there?
It's vonbluven.com, I believe, or no, .org. Vonbluven.org,
and that's like blue, like the color blue, B-L-U-E, I think.
No, B-L-U-V, blue,
okay.
B-N-N-S.
Okay.
Well,
let me get back to my original question.
I'm sorry, man.
How can somebody sit there and say the shit that they did to them? You have to have... It's beyond being an animal. There's got to be a lot of hate to do something, to do the things that we know that they did.
Yeah. You're right. I mean,
this
is beyond the normal T&D type motivation. I mean, this is motivated stuff here. You know, they had to actually, sober up, put the joint down or whatever for a minute to actually get some of this stuff done.
Seriously.
I'm being kind of stupid funny, but you're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, if this isn't hate, what the hell is it, man?
Yeah,
this is why hate crimes is a farce. It's why it's ridiculous on its very face, because, first of all, every crime pretty much is a crime of hate. But... I mean,
well, not really.
Have you guys ever gotten in a fight in school with groids, and I say groids because it's never just one. They come in packs of 20, 25, and 30.
They all pop out of the trees and shit, swinging.
Yeah. It's never just one, ever. And if you ever do fight one, you'll find out why, of course. But
that's why I've got two clips. 12 rounds. 12 rounds.
He comes prepared.
Yeah.
But yeah. And you're right though. But it's just, I don't know. It's amazing that they can't bring themselves to call this a hate crime, and yet I've never been in a fight with a groid where they were, you know, white bitch, or, you know, when they're not like giving you some kind of like racial meme, you know, in addition to their swings.
It's all racial with them.
They're
absolutely
girly, girly little swings. But see, that's the funny thing.
Yeah,
that's
they just
life.
Swing their arms wildly like
that's
monkeys.
What life is. It right. is that struggle. It's that life is a biological struggle.
It's fucking nature. Race is real, and everything that we do as a society that is for us, I mean, everything is race related. But people need to understand that. It's amazing to me that the Jews have turned that off to people. How do you turn something like that off to people? It's so plainly obvious.
And I keep going back to it. It's the power of media, and it's and as I always say, it's you get to do that when you own the media and you own the printing presses and you own the money presses. That's some stuff you get to do. You get to redirect, just like in that film They Live. They're redirecting our impulses.
Yeah.
You get to do that, but it's a false economy. It's kind of like living off of your credit card. You can only do it for so long, but and while you're doing it, it has to. There are diminishing returns, so there has to be more. It has to get heavier and heavier as you go, and we reach the point of the diminishing returns where you just can't. They can't push it any further, and yet reality marches on, and. It's like I've got this thread of Linderisms. I was talking to Byron here a few minutes ago. I've been stuck in this godforsaken airport for hours, and he sent me this thread on Linderisms. Have you guys seen this one?
No.
Oh, I haven't seen
don't
it.
Sell me now. Where is it? And basically, he was talking about the diminishing returns of this Judeo-capitalized society that we have. Where you get diminishing returns for, I'm sorry, I sound a little bit distracted. I'm, like, tipping the waitress and everything. She's, like, doing this really poor version of flirting. Let's see.
Are you buying alcohol, you bastard?
No.
are you tipping the waitress? Are you giving her the best tip ever? You should write on the bill,
gnnforum.com. I did give her a little bit. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Well, she is hearing my commentary. I'm not ashamed of anything, and I'm not tampering anything down. There's no reason to. We're right. We get to do that when we're right. Here it is, Linderism. Here we go. Capitalism. This is posted by Sub Rosa, and I'll post a link to this. Damn it. Okay, yeah. Here you guys go. These are all really, really good. If you look through these, there are some. I mean, they're all gems, but capitalism. Capitalism has reached the point of diminishing returns in this built world, and now the only solution, supersize the consumer, means a bigger, fatter idiot, such as are emitted from Mexican twats with disgusting regularity. Only stupid Mexicans and useless nods will buy because, well, they have no other option. They don't think or read. If they're not buying and consuming something, they're fucking it. If they're not fucking it, they're burning it, breaking it, or murdering it. All of which, come to think of it, creates fresh markets for suppliers, public and private. And, you know, whether he knows it or not, and I'm, or, I don't know, I mean, he's talking about what Foucault called, and if y'all bear with me for a second, Foucault, the French philosopher, called the hyper-real, and it's like the postmodern. It's like you go and go and go, and you can't go any further. You know, you, like a consumerist society, it consumes until... Where has our consumerism led us? You know, it doesn't make you any happier. It makes you unhealthy. So, I mean, we've gotten so scientifically advanced that now we're all unhealthy, depressed, and we're dying off. I mean, it's like biology. technology and success in biology has always meant that you get to procreate more and more and more, but now that's collapsing onto itself now. And I mean, that's where we are, and this is good for us because this allows us to come up with new answers to the questions that life presents us. And this is the nexus. This is where we exist, right there, on the edge of that, or at least we should. And that's my goal, is to at least philosophically, we need, you know, we're forward looking, and we are beyond what goes. Now, we're the inevitable future that the Jews have always liked to present. See, and that's another thing that you get to do when you own the media and the presses and the money. You get, and this is perhaps their biggest victory ever, is that they were able to present their victory as a fait accompli, as the inevitable future. And they've been doing this in film and in fiction forever. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like the futures always seem to be more liberal, for instance, and more multi-cult. And it's always just real swell.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really ever see what's really happening and what's really going to happen. But they've been able to present what they wanted as a fait accompli. But that's not going to happen, not only because it's impossible, it's because we're not going to let it happen.
Well, bottom line is the Jews have gone too far. They really got too brazen in my lifetime. I mean, things were still kind of white when I was a child. You know, I say it all the time, until I was about 10 or 12. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, there was tons of Jews, they still ruled the media, but TV commercials had one black kid in the background, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that there wasn't brown people pumping the gas in the cars. It was still a white country. In my lifetime, in the last 2 decades of my life, they have gone too far.
Hell, you look at 10, 15 years ago, and that, like, just back to the 90s. Good Lord. I mean, I don't know. Does that make me sound old? I mean, I remember people older than me saying that, like, how fast stuff goes just, like, in 10 years. But it's amazing how much stuff has gone downhill in that time. I mean,
yep.
15 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you if you told me that they were just basically going to wipe out our tech industry with foreign workers. I would have said, yeah, and what day does the revolution start? I mean, I would have been like, from where? Where are they going to come from? No one else knows how to do tech. And that's basically right. They don't.
Well, they found a way.
Well, the problem with that, though, is that at this point now, they're realizing that all these Pakistani and Indian and Chinese employees, especially for the tech industry, that they hire, can't think outside of the box. They are not a very intelligent and creative group of people. You know, shit in, shit out.
Nope.
There's nothing very creative about them to solve problems. I mean, I've worked with them before, and it's like, why don't we do it this way? You know, because I used to up until last week in the high tech industry, and they would look at me kind of with this weird face and go, it's a great idea, you know, or some bullshit. And it's like, hey, yeah, that works. Well, fuck, I'm a salesperson. I'm not even a technician. And I can see how to think outside the box, you know? It's like,
Mark, I don't know if I've ever, if I'm repeating myself here, somebody stop me, but my boss and I love it too. They replaced us with some Indians, and he's gotten a lot of gray hairs in the past 6 or 7 years, and I'm not sure where they're all coming from, but I really hope some of them are some of those Indians that he replaced us with. I saw him at a bar and grill type place back home in the Carolinas, and I was very nice to him, you know, because I've moved on. I'm like, well, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, I shook his hand and met his wife, and his wife was really nice and stuff. And he started complaining to me. He said, Petrick, he said, I don't know what to do with him. And I'm just having fun with him, you know. I was like, what is it, Steve? What's going on? And he thought for a minute. And he was staring off into space, and he said, okay. If I put them in a room, and I put a hammer in their hand and a can of Raid on the table across the room, and the room was full of crawling with ants, and I told them to get rid of the ants, they came back in 3 hours, they'd be sitting there with a hammer, sweating their asses off, working overtime. He said they will not look 3 feet beyond their own nose to go for a more elegant solution. And it's kind of funny that he used
work
that term.
Work smarter, not harder.
Well, yeah, and also, white genius provides the elegant solution. And as weird as that may sound, crack open some German technology sometimes. Get under the hood of a BMW sometime and look at how they solve the problems of, say, suspension or, like, steering and stuff like that. And look at how they actually solve the problems of creating a car. And if that isn't elegant, if you don't look at a lot of this technology, it's very pronounced in like a BMW, but it's everywhere. It's all over the place. It's how technology works. You use the innate, you know, forces at work in something to get what you want done. You don't go against the, you know, and that's how you provide a more elegant solution. And the third worlders just aren't capable of it. And it's not something you learn in graduate school. It's between your ears. It's physiological. It's stuff that you're born with. You either have it or you don't.
Well, you know what's interesting, Dietrich, and because I'm very much into racing. I used to race jet skis, motorcycles, go-karts, and all that kind of shit. And
now you're just a racist.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a fast one. God, you can see my lawn kit. I'm zooming up and down the block. But I came up with a great idea to improve suspension systems, and I'm not even an engineer. And I talked to a buddy of mine that's a mechanic, and we're thinking about buying, like, a beater car, let's say, like a Honda, and try and take my idea that I'm thinking, because the only way it would work is with computers, and see if maybe we can make something happen like that. But that's how us white people are. We think outside of the box. Not all the time. A lot of us are stuck in front of the TV watching fucking niggers throw, you know, a basketball and shit like that, and that's unfortunate. But a lot of us, you know, we're very ingenious. You know?
Well, you hear, like I always say, you know, there's 100 IQ is average, you know, it's average, but wow, is it low. And I'm still trying to figure out a way to say that without sounding really pretentious. But,
You're going to bring up your 150, son of a bitch? Is that what you're going to do?
I've never
right
said
now?
What my IQ is, and I will tell you that my IQ is not 150, and I'm not going to say what it is, because it's not. But it's not
175.
Hey, guys, well, in other news, Paul Wolfowitz resigned.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Did he resign because he finally admitted to his role in 9/11, or is it his little girlfriend? You know, I mean, that's the thing that frustrates me so much. It's like, ooh, we got Paul Wolfowitz, because this is why Democrats were so freaking weak, and it enraged me so much. Oh, we got Paul Wolfowitz because of his girlfriend, and I'm like, God damn it, he did 9/11! God!
Yeah, right?
Oh, we cut his pension by a fifth. I'm like, this kite should be swinging after a summary trial.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, name Paul Wolfowitz, guilty.
Alright, goodbye. You know what, you guys are talking
guilty.
What you guys are talking about the difference in white people's ability to problem solve, and there's an anthropologist that Masher and I both know, who shall remain nameless, but she gave me a study one time about they did a study between it was Asians, blacks, and whites, and they put a picture in front of the painting, and the they checked, you know, they scanned the brain and all that shit. Apparently blacks, when they're made to look at a painting for a certain amount of time, and then they take the painting away, and they would make them describe the painting, what they noticed. Apparently blacks noticed the color in the painting. Oh, it was all the colors. They noticed the bling.
I thought you were going to say they got angry and started to throw poo in my back.
No, it was like in The Secret of NIMH, that cartoon movie.
It was just
I got a laugh out of Paul, I think.
Well, they did. They noticed the decoration, the color, the bling of the picture. The Asians noticed, how can I say it? It was the Asians noticed what the picture was. No details, nothing. The white people noticed everything, the colors, the detail, what was in the background, what was, you know, the main theme of the picture, and it was amazing, and it shows. And you can really see it when you're on the road. You know, niggers just want to drive fast and crazy. They always have dents in their car from running into things. And Asian people, they don't notice what the hell is on the sides of them. They don't look in the rear view. They just go straight, and that's it. I mean, you ever notice, they'll just pull out in front of you, and, like, it's not because they're an asshole, it's because they just didn't see you, because they didn't fucking look.
They're notoriously poor drivers.
You know what I mean?
For reasons.
If you ever pull up next to one, always do this. When you pull up next to an Asian person, if you pull up next to a white or a black, they'll look at you for a second. You look at each other, you know what I mean? When you pull up next to an Asian person, they just stare straight ahead, man. They don't look to the right, they don't look to the left, and it's the truth.
Better off dead.
I'll tell you the reason that
they know how shitty they drive, and they just don't want to look in anyone's eye.
Yeah, exactly. They know if they look at their side, someone's going to be giving them the finger. So, I mean, that's why they look straight.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. Somebody pulls in front of you real bad, like, and you come up next to a light, and, like, I mean, not even if you're staring them down or anything, but they're just like, okay, looking ahead. But I know what you're saying. You're absolutely right.
And this study showed it with the painting. It showed exactly what I'm talking about. I mean,
now, what was that? Were you talking about PET scans?
Well, no,
was this just like a survey after viewing the painting?
Well, they did that. I can't remember the whole brain scan part of it. I just remember the part of what the different races noticed in the painting. And the white people noticed everything. They were the most well-rounded as far as what we do. And that's how we are. We're well-rounded. We might not be able to sit and work for 100,000 hours a month and do the same mundane task over and over and make a fortune for our company like Asians can do. But you know what? We can build a fucking rocket during World War II and send it out of the atmosphere and make it land on London. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of shit white people did.
Obviously not enough, but your point is well taken.
You know what, though? I think there's a fallacy in the story, because I guarantee you that the niggers probably said, yo, man, that shit looks like a pink vagina and shit, man.
Hey, did you ever see the black space program? Craig sent that to me a while back, man. That's
yeah,
terrible.
I saw that. That was
it sounds good, though.
They went to, apparently, they made it to the moon first in like a 63 Chevelle or something. A hoopie. You know what, though? Panzerfaust, that's interesting, too, because you brought me back to this McDonald PDF that I posted in the main forum to the show thread, which is at vnnforum.com at the top of the this end section. Yeah, in there I posted a PDF of the Occidental Quarterly, the Winter-Spring Occidental Quarterly 07 Psychology and White Ethnocentrism by Kevin McDonald. And it's very, I mean, God, if I could assign that as homework, everyone at VNN would read that. It really is. It's an arrow in your quiver. But one of the main thrusts that really sort of got me taking a second and third look was... Hey, have you guys, and I know a lot of people listening to this may have, and you guys may have as well, seen the racism test where you, I think it's the Harvard racism test, where you hit the left and right buttons that you associate, like, blacks with positive things and whites with negative things, and then whites with positive things and blacks with negative things, and if you can, like, associate blacks with negative things faster, it's like you're racist, and they measure how racist you are. Turns out everyone's pretty much racist, even black people. And the funny thing is, Kevin McDonald says, he says that they're way more hypocritical. People who identify themselves as liberals are way more hypocritical than conservatives. Because they, and this, if you talk about a learned response, you wonder why half the population is on Prozac. Listen to this. This is crazy. When they were showing these pictures, McDonald reports that the researchers found out that once the test subjects were told about what was going on, and you know, if they were measuring their fear response, like if they showed a picture of like a groid or a white person or like a flower, something neutral, happy like that, they were showing fear responses for everything before the pictures were displayed. They were showing fear responses for flowers because they didn't want to be seen as being racist. And that it was eliciting a fear response before the stimuli were even given. So, you know, in my opinion, that goes just a little ways to explaining why everyone's a little screwy these days. I mean,
Dietrich, yes. You know what's interesting is today when I was driving up, I was listening to the radio, and on one of the shows they were talking about how now a lot of the companies that are doing like the survey polls and this and that have stopped using live people, but a computer, because what they figured out is like with white people, that if we were talking to another human being and they were asking us questions, no matter how unbiased the person was on the other end that was asking the questions, that they really wouldn't give them their own true feelings because they felt that, you know, they'd come off as a racist or this or that.
Yeah, I've heard that. There's like this enhanced halo effect. I know what you're saying. I haven't read that exact study. Do you remember where you found that?
No, they were discussing it on the radio, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, not only that, there's that, someone posted a thread about some girl that was raped by three Groids, and she didn't want to report it because she was scared of being thought of as a racist. Does anybody
else
see that?
Are you talking
about
the eye reprocessing chick?
I don't know. She was living in a house.
Damn sad.
Yeah.
Alex likes to mention this. I thought you were talking about the eye reprocessing chick. I posted this on my blog a few days ago. Was Alex on with you guys on Tuesday?
No, he wasn't.
No.
Okay. I think he was on Monday night then.
Yeah, he was on Monday.
Okay. Yeah, he was rehashing something that I'd heard him mention on the Goy Fire, and I've seen him write about it before. And I reposted it on my blog because it's completely evergreen. And that's what I thought you were talking about, Masher, because it was the girl who went to this high school that was predominantly black or whatever, and she was beaten up and had her homework stolen and ripped up, and her parents went to the school to try to stop it. And they were told they couldn't really do anything about it because it would be seen as racist. And this girl was just positively tormented, okay? And she, and it's kind of like Dear Abby or whatever. I think it's like Slate or Salon.com. It's one of those, like, online Microsoft.
No, this is a totally different story.
I got two more sentences and I'll finish up.
I'm sorry.
She says, what do I do about this? I know I totally interrupted you, too. I'm sorry. But she says, what do I do about this? I'm not racist, oy vey. And the answer is to go to some eye reprocessing. Go to an eye reprocessing center where they'll teach you to not be able to see reality again. Amazing. No, I'm not kidding at all. Get V2 an eye reprocessing center. Anyway, I apologize for interrupting you. That's what I thought you were talking about.
That's why these Jews need to fucking hang.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Would
today.
You guys like to know another reason why Jews should hang?
Yeah, please tell me.
By the way, I'm already about to throw up after...
more than 250 million?
No, I'm already about to throw up thinking about it, but thinking about everything we already talked about, but okay. Lawmakers reach accord on migrant labor law. In Washington, leading U.S. senators reached an agreement on Thursday on immigration reform that would strengthen U.S. borders and grant lawful status to millions of illegal immigrants. A deal that could lead to a major legislative victory for President G.W. Bush. This sets the stage for what is expected to be a passionate Senate debate over the plan, which would give some 12 million, more like 30 million, illegal immigrants legal status, create a temporary worker program, and set up a merit-based system for future newcomers. The agreement we just reached...
They said 1986.
Yeah, the agreement we've just reached is the best possible chance we'll have in years to secure our borders. Bring millions of people out of the shadows and into the sunshine of America, said Edward Kennedy.
Oh, God.
Ready for this? Senator Arlen Specter, as Pennsylvania Republican, said, no matter what we craft, it's going to be attacked from both the right and the left. This is the best, I think, that can be done. Of course he would think that, you type. Immigration is a hot-button issue that has divided the United States in a way that has made it difficult to pass reforms. Hundreds of thousands of Latinos and other immigrants rallied as recently as May 1st to demand change. So, especially... And also,
hello?
What happened? Did he just drop?
Yeah, let me chime in here, though. What kind of a multi-cult Jewish tyranny nightmare do we live in when Inspector is here to... rescue us from stuff. Good Lord. God help us. I mean, this is the best thing. Shit, I need to be quiet. This is the best thing we can do, you know, for America, you know, to keep America, America. We gotta let them all in there.
And you know what? It's too bad he didn't die.
He really gives a damn.
He should, it's too bad he didn't die from this fucking brain tumor he had years ago. That would have been great.
Yeah, I think being Jewish basically is a brain tumor. Yeah. But
well, you guys know what's funny? Real quick before we do a break, is the whole Ted Kennedy thing. If you listen to a speech back in, and he's been a proponent of everything that's happened for the last 40 years with regards to immigration, he's been behind. And back in 86, he said, this is the last time we're going to take amnesty. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and that was like, the punchline, and the setup was in 1965 when they were talking about how the new immigration law wasn't going to change the demographics of the United States.
Yeah.
And
it's like, okay.
Dude, if they tell you to duck, you better jump.
All right.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you better just get me off. But yeah, if you guys want to go to break, that sounds fine.
Well, no, I got to read this. We're not going to break.
Okay.
While we're on the immigration issue, you guys are going to love this.
Sure.
Area resettlement coordinators are hosting a set of community information sessions as they prepare for as many as 50 refugees from Tanzania to arrive at Chattanooga beginning this summer. Okay, Deborah Stein, program manager for the Episcopal Migration Ministries, a New York-based group that helps resettle refugees, has said that an estimated 3,000 Burundian refugees will come to the United States by the end of September.
IEDs. We'll be making some progress when somebody will stand up in church and ask what the fuck is going on over there.
Well, I want to know who the fuck.
No kidding.
Church puts Deborah Stein in.
No, charge. Yeah, I mean that's just too transparent
that
there.
A German. You know, it's originally a German.
I'm not buying that for a second, dude. That's a kite, dude. She's a program manager for the Episcopal Migration Ministries.
God damn.
Hello, but Deborah. Crypto, maybe?
Yeah. Well, this is the best part is that these Burundian refugees.
We killed the son of God. Sorry.
They will be resettled all over the country, she says. There are 9 voluntary agencies contracted through the Department of State. Mrs. Curtis says the refugees will need extra help adjusting to a new life in the United States, aka more money, because they've been in a refugee camp with limited access to education.
Oh, great! So they're gonna spread the love around a little bit.
Yeah. You know, get your wallets out, folks. Get your pocketbooks out. Get out your shekel purse.
Yeah, they need Drano for our
daughters. We got the sub-Saharans are moving in. They need our help. We don't want to fail our niggers again, do we?
Failing our niggers. Classic.
You know what's so funny, and what's interesting to me about the whole African thing, is that, and grant you, I'm not by any means a Bible dumper, but I know some of the verses, and one of the things that they talk about, you know, it's better to teach a man how to fish than to just give him fish. And what do all these liberals do? Like, oh, we need to feed them so they don't die. Well, maybe teach them not to fucking screw everything that's still breathing.
Or leave them in their own environment.
Well, I mean, you're going under the assumption though that either the liberals just aren't stupid followers, and that the leaders of those followers actually want anything of them than what happened in Knoxville. I mean, they want that stuff. It's not an exaggeration. They're not dumb. They know what's going to happen. They know that if they don't have they just need a little bit more money so they can get on their feet. They know that's not what they want. They know it. They know it just like we know it. I mean, just like we laugh about it. They're laughing under their breath. It's the same exact thing. It's just that, you know, they're able to put on the straight face to all the dumb idiots of the lemmings out there, as we say, and like give a halfway plausible. Oh yeah, we just need a little bit more shekels. Yeah, they know that. That's the thing. It's so hard to get through to people sometimes. And I know you know what you're talking about, I know you know what I'm talking about. But it is. It's so hard to get through to people. It's like they're not trying to get them to do that. You know, they're just. It's just halfway plausible enough to get the dumb going to go along with them. That's all. It's just because it's almost plausible. But they're just like us. They're laughing under their cuff. You know, just like we are here on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Hey, are we going to go to a break? I have a short story about an Afrocentric school, or I can hang on to it or whatever.
hang on to it for after the break, and let's get this Skype thing.
Afrocentric school, what the fuck is that?
I know, but it sounds brilliant. I can't wait.
Oh, it is. It's Brill.
What is it?
It's Brill.
Seriously. Hold on, let me warm up my lawn chair. Tell me the story.
All right, we'll get these lawn chairs kick-started, and we'll be right back. I want to say thanks again to Tony for hosting this. We couldn't do it without him. We're joined by Mark, his set of flaming long chairs, and Panzerfaust and his little bro Master. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Take it away, Tony.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Vanguard News Network. On May 26th at 3 p.m. in Knoxville, Tennessee, join us for an event the controlled media can't ignore. The Rally for Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom. Log on to VNNforum.com for more information.
Vanguard.
And we're back.
Good evening, everybody.
Sorry about
Tony.
That. Hey.
Welcome back to the Friday edition of VNN Free Talk Live, coming to you from the... coming tonight, broadcasting from Azatlan International Airport. This is Dietrich, and I'm joined by my good friend Tony, who's nice enough to produce the show tonight.
Good evening,
Tony.
Good evening.
Great job on your part.
Well, hey, great content. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, Mark, not so great job, but he's hanging in there. Panzerfaust and Masher.
What the hell did I do?
I knew he wasn't there, that's why I said that.
It's either in the show chat or you guys dogging on me, man. It's just so funny. Like, man, I'm just minding my own damn business and you the fuckers are that ain't right, man. Go, come and get my mom kid, bastard. Beat you in the head with it several times.
Okay.
I'll punch you in the gut.
Alright, we're moving right along into the TNB section of tonight's program.
TNB.
TNB section is tonight's program.
Okay, TNB. TNB.
I have my generic TNB, the stands. That's the blig.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you got to do is look up in the tree. Who else in the leprechaun say yeah? Yeah! I was going to know what it goes.
The leprechaun. I think everyone here sees the leprechaun. and yes, everyone indeed wants to know where the gold at.
No, not gold. There's no D on that, Dietrich. It's goal. G-O-L-E.
Oh, my bad.
I want to know where the goal at.
My baby.
Hey guys, I have a big story. I don't know if anybody's heard about it yet, but a double homicide suspect faces new charges. The alleged ringleader in a fatal double carjacking faces new charges that prosecutors are asking to link together with the pending murder case. Lamaricus Slim Davidson, 25, has been indicted by a Knox County grand jury on charges he robbed a North Knoxville Pizza Hut and tried to steal at gunpoint a woman's purse the day after he and four other suspects allegedly killed a young Knox County couple in January.
Allegedly. Come on,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. They tortured him.
Allegedly murdered them. The day after, he's right on the fucking... He's right back to that shit, dude. And this picture they have on here, I'll post this in the show chat for everybody. His lips look almost like... First of all, he looks high as shit, of course, but his lips look like Dave Chappelle's lips when he plays that crackhead. I'm not kidding.
Oh, with the white stuff on it?
No, but his are like kind of bluish white around like the back of his lips.
It's ridiculous.
Byron was asking me, are there a lot of blue gums in the Atlanta airport? I'm like, God, it's like Planet of the Apes International.
No, I got a question. Is it really called the Aslan Airport?
No.
Okay, I was going to say
that.
That
would be funny.
Yeah, that would be outrageous. Oh, my God, he does look like he's all cracked out in that picture.
Yeah, apparently he was identified by his tattoo on his inner lip that said inflate to 40 pounds. Hey-o!
40 PSI. Oh!
Dum dum.
Yo, nigga, that shit ain't right, man. Why you gotta be talking like that?
You know what? The bottom line is he just finished busting 10,000 nuts and raping and killing white people, having a good time, and niggas need to go to Pizza Hut and get some more cash, motherfucker. So he goes right out and robs a Pizza Hut. Like, this dude is just... people don't understand. These guys are everywhere, roaming free.
And they're
all
too dumb to know better. As if they cared to know better. They would be too dumb to do so. They won't wear a mask. That's what I'm still trying to think of the best way to actually say that. I mean, they're too dumb. Like, even if, they're too dumb to know they're going to definitely get caught. It's like they won't wear a mask. They'll look right into a camera. They won't disguise their voice. They'll use their real names in robberies.
Not known for the intelligence.
Rob a bank and then spend money with blue diodes all over it.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll kill you and then go joyriding in your car with the license tag still on it in your own hometown. They're too dumb to be properly scared to do this stuff as if they, you know, that would help, I guess. I don't know.
Lamerica Slim Davidson, Latalvis Rome Cobbins. Oh, look at all their names. Let's see who else. George Detroit Thomas.
Detroit.
Yeah,
pretty name.
Detroit
and
shit.
The funny things I find when I search Detroit criminal in Google.
Kind of like the funny things you find when you search rabbi and police.
Yeah, or rabbi and pedophile. Yeah, it's just endless.
My God.
All right.
I just have a breaking news story before you get to yours. That's a really short story. And I think that this might have been either an Israeli, definitely a Jew, but possibly an Israeli died. Man killed on motorcycle collision. A 33-year-old man was killed during a motorcycle collision in Reseda at approximately 8:30 p.m. So I guess this just happened here maybe 20 minutes ago. Hodari D. Bowen, a resident of Reseda, and Reseda and like the whole northwest kind of side of L.A. is pretty Jewy, was driving his 2007 Yamaha motorcycle on Victory Boulevard, approaching Wilbur Avenue. A 2000 Mercedes-Benz was in the intersection waiting to turn. Mr. Bowen approached at a high rate of speed and collided with the car. What's funny is, okay, it says Mr. Bowen sustained serious head injuries and was transported to a local hospital where he died a short time later. Anyone with information regarding this incident is urged to contact Valley Traffic Division. The guy was hauling ass, and he hit a car. What else do you want to know? And he was a Jew, so it's fantastic. Sounds like a good time to me.
Oh, there was lawn chair parts everywhere. It was horrible.
He pulled the lawn chair from his ass. Oh,
was
God.
He wearing it? Do you have to wear a helmet when you're driving around your lawn chair there in California?
Yeah, they do. But the thing about it is that a lot of some of the guys, the idiots, of course, will instead of having like a full face helmet. People buy those little doily helmet kind of a deal, like the top guys wear. It's about as useful as, I mean, there's no use to it. I mean, it's not going to protect anything. You get smashed in the face, your face is destroyed. So, kind of interesting. I see it as a good thing, you know, next to Jerry Baldwin dying, you know.
Yeah, be careful out there on your lawn chair, guys.
Here's what my niggas, it's time for the TMB section of our program.
I love that. And label me as a dope dealer. It's like 80s nomenclature there. Label me as a dope dealer. Mm-hmm. That's back when rap was saying that they didn't smoke pot. All the nostalgia. When they used to say, no, I don't smoke weed. And like, you know, I'd be tripping if I smoke weed.
I don't smoke sex or weed.
Yeah. Don't smoke Buddha. Anyway. This hat tip goes to Byron Chost on a forum that he frequents. I guess you could call it our little bitch sister forum called the Fora. Hi, guys. And I say that as well-meaning as possible. This is a story about an Afrocentric school. If you guys know what Afrocentrism is, it's the actual academic discipline, and I say that as laughingly as I can, but they taught at universities, and some Afrocentric professors are still hanging on there. But they teach that, you know, a black scientist created white people, an evil black scientist created white people. Blacks were flying around in their pyramids thousands of years before they were living in huts and entertaining the CP flies, as Airlander says. Dude, sometimes I'll be laying in my bed at night about to fall asleep, and I'll remember Alex saying that he said, oh, God, I think the CP flies keep the Africans around for entertainment, and I'll just start laughing. I'll just start laughing and have to, like, get comfortable. It just brings a smile to my face. But anyway, this is Byron Joe's message this to me from over at the forum. Before she begins each school day at Bojangles Delaney Academy, LaShawna Jackson Johnson, 9, recites a statement of affirmation. It's an important part of the day ritual for the 97 students at Bojangles Delaney. As important as cheese doodles or the word motherfucker, says Taki Dresser, the school's principal. With her hair in neat braids, her red sweater, Crips approved, and plaid skirt neatly pressed, Alexis joins her younger classmates, Falsetta Teeth, 8, in leading the combined class of 3rd and 4th graders. Quote, I love myself, I love my beautiful image, and my bike tire lips, the two girls say with the 11 other students. As the oath continues, they build to a crescendo, then end with, I am the perfect design of success, I invented the comb, the mop, and the high-temperature superconductor. I am simply, magnificently fabulous. I am all the dead presidents, yo, and I'ma get me mine. As the school concludes, or as the oath concludes, rather, all the children put out footballs and do an end zone dance. Bojangles Delaney, with its daily affirmations, lessons in Swahili, and emphasis on wholly invented black history, is one of the 200 Afrocentric schools that have opened since 1996. The idea behind them is that black children will have the confidence and power to succeed in the world if their school, as long as their schoolwork builds self-esteem, focuses on African-American heritage, and is taught by people like them. There are only 13 Afrocentric schools in the Midwest, including 2 private and 1 public school in Milwaukee. Bojangles Delaney and the Farrakhan Mothership Academy, which may lose its charter, are private.
Hold on. Did you say the Mothership Academy?
Oh, you don't know about Farrakhan and the Mothership? Oh, please Google. Farrakhan, bless his heart, has said in the past that this Afrocentrism, remember I said the blacks flying around in their spaceships? Well, apparently, there's a mothership. You know, you ever listen to, like, Parliament Funkadelic?
Oh, yeah.
They're just joking, but Farrakhan isn't. Apparently there's a mothership up there, and it's kind of like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Yeah. Anyway, well, this is obviously, you know, kind of a joke article, but I'll continue. Martin Luther King Elementary School is part of Milwaukee Public Schools. All 3 smell like subway toilets. It is particularly striking as the country marks the 50th anniversary of Supreme Court's Brown versus Board of Education decision to dismantle the futures of white children by seating them next to burr-headed savages in the nation's public schools, that a network of schools for black children would exist so that no one dares legally challenge for fear of being called racist. But even educators and activists who still long for truly integrated schools seem to acknowledge 3 factors. 1, if parents want something like the Bojangles Delaney schools, it should be their choice. 2, there is a desperate need for good education, that the question of how that education is delivered becomes secondary. 3, you can put pants on a monkey, but you can't teach it algebra. Milwaukee public schools are now segregated, if not more so than they were in 1976 when the city schools were ordered desegregated. The difference is, in 1976, your tax dollars could get your kid to a reasonably worthwhile public education. Today, you'd better have an extra 5 or 10 grand kicking around if you attend for a junior to get through the third grade learning, sometimes basic duck and cover procedure. Nationally, the Civil Rights Project at Harvard University has found that 70% of black students and 76% of Hispanic students attend schools that would have more educational and aesthetic value as burned out empty lots. Parents should continue to have the right to choose what's best for their children, says State Representative Annette Sugarfoot Williams, Democrat from Milwaukee. And it don't got to be integrated. The choices ought to be to educate, not play a hate. If a parent wants a totally black education, there should be no stigma on that. just on totally just on totally white education. The headline is Reinventifying Africa. Robert Fay, a writer and researcher for Africana, the Encyclopedia of Fried Foods and Lotto Numbers, attributes the term Afrocentric to Abdullah Tashinga Jones, a professor of Afro-American Studies at Temple University in Philadelphia. One of the many fake subjects we're stuck with now that noticing naked emperors is a crime punishable by steep fines and prison. At its very moderate, Fay wrote, Afrocentrism means rediscovering an American or African and African-American achievement, restoring Africa's rightful place in history, and establishing its importance on par with European history, culture, and accomplishment. When told that all that sounds fine, but Africans are still sucking termites through straws out of dirt piles and calling it cuisine, thousand years after whites began using utensils, and that no one's dragooning rock stars to stage benefits for starving Belgians, Fay bristles, I suppose next you're going to tell me we didn't invent the refrigerator, or that we ain't built the pyramids. And just let me interject here that Cleopatra was a red-headed Macedonian princess, okay? Cleopatra was a red-headed Macedonian princess, okay? Fight with the bud. Hey, here's another one. Google sometime Budweiser African Kings series. Sitting down and don't have anything in your mouth. Be prepared to laugh. Have one on me. Okay. The Afrocentric curriculum strives to give its students a view of people as actors rather than objects in history. And that actually is a Marxist pablum right there, and expands history to include lots of made-up stuff, Fay says. It embraces a multicultural idea of what the society is, Asante says. A white banker loans money to a Chinaman to open a fast food restaurant, and a month later, a nigga bike messenger asks the team for extra hot sauce on everything. And that's a complete thought, apparently. At Bojangles, 2466 West McKinley Avenue, Dresser believes the discipline, self-esteem, and performance of his students are higher than what is found in many public schools. Students abide by a code of silence while walking through the hallways, where a lockdown posture, crossed arms to avoid touching one of the African masks that adorn the hallways, is standard. This helps them prepare for a future as convicts. I have a saying. The culture, history, and orange soda inspires greatness, Dresser says. Inside a second grade class at Bojangles, Shalila Pate, a thin wisp of a child at 7 with deep dimples on her cheeks, says her favorite subject is art, but I want to be a doctor, she says, adding brightly, a licensed rheumatologist. Luckily, there are laws against graduates of African self-esteem medical schools practicing medicines in the United States. For now. Shalila Dejon Weaver, 8, and others in Ebony Rogers' second grade classroom begin each day by counting to 10 in Swahili, 20 in Spanish, and then by 2s, 5s, and 10s in English. When asked why they learned to count higher in Spanish and English than in Swahili, Ebony grudgingly admits, in Swahili, numbers only go up to 10. It's a cultural thing. Very few African families can afford even 10 chickens walking around the living room, after all. Each month, they learned and memorized a poem by Langston Hughes. This month's selection, Hughes' poem on segregation, quote, I, too, sing America and whatnot. I, too, sing America, the children recite in a sing-song verse. I am the darker brother. They send me to eat in the kitchen. One day, I'm a kill massa and wear his skin like a Lakers jersey. Bojangles' building is old and needs repairs. The school's second-floor auditorium, where art classes take place, needs roof work. The stove burners are out of order in the crack lab. Sporadic rapes are always a concern, but despite the handicaps, Dresser believes his students can compete. He's particularly proud of the second, third, and fourth grade classes, where the majority of students read at or above sea level. I maintain professionally and culturally that all black schools that are culturally based are far superior to integrated schools, Dresser says, and the notion of integrated schools being better is a myth. What about compared to all-white schools? All-white schools, he snapped, suddenly excited. Where they at? I know my rights. They against the law. Those who care deeply about having an integrated school system say they're not bothered by Bojangles Delaney's mission. What concerns them is the larger picture, the question of whether society should be satisfied with post office and DMV employees who can count to 10 but not 11. We know that separate and equal is not real and will never work, said Jerry Anna Hamilton, president of the Milwaukee National Association of Free Money for Us. But you can't tell parents what to do unless they white, and some black parents have had bitter experiences learning bona fide subjects. How are you going to teach self-esteem if this shit is hard? It seems to me the people have spoken. In rhyme, of course. And Dennis Conta, a former state lawmaker who sponsored legislation that created Chapter 220, said the movement toward resegregation in Milwaukee may be unavoidable in light of the all-white people heading for high ground, but that was still regrettable. Quote, I think there are African-American parents who are perfectly content having their children inside a segregated system which is producing effective education, Conta says. I surely see nothing wrong with that. But there are also surely other parents who, for a variety of moral, historical, and constitutional reasons, feel that it might be more advantageous if their children were taught actual subjects that prepared them to at least make correct change on a $20 purchase. John Givens, former head of the Milwaukee NAACP, who worked along with the state, the late Lloyd Barbie, on school integration in the 1960s, is among those who now support schools such as Bojangles Delaney and Queen Latifah Fried Chicken Preparatory, a predominantly black school, that adheres to a traditional curriculum of freestyles and free throws. He sees the main dilemma facing as the system's unwillingness to incorporate the Pledge of Fabulousness. It's imperative that they work and they can produce a viable alternative to objective reality, which has traditionally hampered African Americans. Givens says, if that means science courses that teach our kids nigger spacemen invented white folks 110 million years ago, then so be it. As long as there exists an extra right for students to excel in the made-up curriculum of their choice. Dresser and former MPS superintendent Howard Fuller believed the big flaw in the Brown decision was the implicit view that anything all black was by definition inferior. We smart as them, Fuller insists, while gnawing on a chicken neck. It just racism keeping us down. Even if you look at MPS, there are not enough white people to even be discussing integration, Fuller says. We've done chased them all off. All we asked for was the government to set aside every public school sector for us, and they flew off. If that ain't racism, what is? Oh, my God. In the last paragraph, it's not so much that we were fighting for being next to white people. They just bitches, Asante says. What we were fighting for was a sense of autonomy, that two and two ain't always four just cause devil say so. Sometimes it's five, sometimes it's eight. You know what I'm saying? If it meant that we had to sit next to white folks, fine. But we could just jack their lunch money and bus passes, get the substance of our own culture somewhere else, then yo, that would be even greater.
Boy, somebody really put some... Who wrote that?
I don't know. He said this was from over at Sarah.
That is some serious...
It's written really well. It's written just like an AP.
Absolutely. And it covers every base possible. Oh, man. I gotta
go. You can find it over at coolkidsrebel.com, and you can probably find it at the fora, too. I looked for a link and didn't find it when I tried to Google inside a fora, but it's on the second page if you go to... My blog.
You know what's funny? If you guys, it reminded me of a picture that somebody drew. I need to know who this guy is that draws these. Did you guys get that picture? The Niggers Rich African Heritage. that one I posted.
Hey, didn't you find out who that was, Panzer Faust? A white man.
Yeah, right.
You're like, oh, hey, here it is.
Quiet,
hey.
Man. Oh, and then it took me like a minute. I'm like,
I know. We were all like, wait for it.
That was pretty fun. But yeah, did you guys see that picture? There's the rich African heritage. I mean, it is so true.
Which one is it?
It's the one I posted here. I'll post it again. Hold on. It's just so funny because I've seen it before and I laugh every time I see it because it's just so fucking true.
Do we even have a show chat for this?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Do we have a show chat room? I know we have one for us.
Oh, yeah.
I just posted it again, in the show chat room, and I'll post it in the boss room, too, for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, can somebody put me into the show chat room?
I'm on it.
Yeah, check out that thing I just sent.
You're already in there.
I am.
It wouldn't let me add you.
I see the one with you guys, but I don't see.
Interesting.
I don't see the main one.
It says, ever hear blacks refer to their rich African heritage? Let's have a look. Oh my gosh, it's so true.
African cuisine.
Oh. It's like a fucking maggot on a spear.
It is true. It is really hard to get around no two-story architecture.
You know, African architecture, it's just a freaking hut. African invention, it's a spear. African fashion is a bone for the fucking nose.
Have you ever seen the top 25 or top 30 African inventions over at Niggermania?
No.
Oh, African literature, he's just drawing in the sand.
He's drawing in the sand. I'm telling you. You know, it's funny and you can laugh about it, but it's everything in there.
It is true.
It's true.
Well, here's a couple questions that I really, these are honest questions. You know when they do the thing where they stretch out their neck? I don't understand what that's about. And then
their lip?
No, their neck. Their neck.
That'd be beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Where it's like a foot long.
I knew what that was at one time.
What's that?
I knew what that was. I knew why they did that at one
time. It's purely aesthetic.
Yeah, it's a beauty thing, but I can't remember where it came from.
Yeah, but then the plate and the lips? What the fuck? Are they trying to be ducks or something?
No, actually, the plate and the lips thing, as far as anthropologists say, they said that they wanted to make their wives unattractive so that they wouldn't be stolen. And then that's where it originally came from. And then it just kind of evolved into something that became part of the beauty standard. And that's, you know, that's how culture works a lot of times, but not to that ugly extent. Dude, every time when you said that, man, I just get the most vivid image of that one Groid with the AK-47, the plate lip.
Oh, my God.
40-gigabyte iPod color. No doubt with loaded up with U2. With Bono.
You know what's funny, though, is that, what Groid thought, I'll make my woman's lip bigger, and then nobody will want to steal her and rape her. Since when does a Groid care what anything looks like? As long as it has a wet hole in it, they're fine.
Dude, they don't even care if it's a wet hole, man.
I was going to say that.
You know what I mean? Like, since when do they care if there's a plate in someone's lip? They're like, damn. Y'all take the plate out. That's a new hole.
So seriously, I'm in the chat because all I see is the one with us four.
No, you're in the VNN show chat, dude. I definitely brought you in when I started it.
Yeah, you're there.
Dog. As a matter of fact, you know what it is, Dietrich? It's the chat that me and you started before the show when we were just talking. Originally.
Can somebody try to add me again? Yeah.
I tried a bunch of times.
It's the one where, you know, I said, "You come on, brah, what's the deal? Why aren't you broadcasting?"
You got it.
That's the chat. I told you I was just going to add everybody else into it. That's how I usually do it.
I've got the one that says the boss. I've got the boss's chat room, but I can't see the other one at all. Well, okay, if somebody can add me to that or invite me to that.
Who the heck you two, motherfucker, you? You only exist out here because of me.
I'm gonna bring you out of it. I'm gonna pull you out of it, and I'm gonna put you back in.
Okay, sweet.
I brought you into this world. I can take you out of it, dear.
You motherfucker!
This isn't your first kid, though, is it, Panzer?
No, it's my second.
Your second.
Cool.
Yep.
Well.
You having some Irish twins there?
I'm gonna have the perfect American family.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, two kids. Boy and a girl.
I want some. My wife and I are. I'm gonna talk her into some Irish twins, which is a slander for our Irish friends. Babies roughly 9 months apart.
I thought you meant you were gonna have your wife get down with some Irish twin chicks. I was like, okay.
Get with me later. I got pictures. Anyway, but.
Hey, Panzer, are you going to have, like, a white picket fence overlooking Camden or something?
Yeah, man. It's funny, because Master and I were on the back porch of his place the other day, and we were talking about it. Man, if we had some paintball guns, we could just rain paintballs right down on Camden all over town, man.
Who was that had a bunch of paintball equipment and got taken away? Was that Stan or one of you?
That was Mark and Callie.
Yeah, that was me. That happened in fucking Atlantic City. I wasn't there. Sons of bitches. They took a, it was a, it, me personally. Well, granted, I got the stuff for free because I was sponsored. But it was about $2,000 worth of gear that I would normally sell at the end of the year. You know.
Wait, somebody sponsored you to play paintball?
Dude, I've played all over the planet.
Yeah, but somebody sponsored you to play paintball?
Dude, I played in Brazil, Germany. Everything was paid for. I'm check good, brother.
Yeah, but I don't care how good you are. Somebody sponsored you to play paintball? I mean, I don't care if you can
dodge. Are you gonna make fun on me, you bastard?
I'm not making fun of you. I'm just like, that's a, I don't know, man. See, that's why I doubt people talking about how we have a bad economy. Somebody's playing Marcus Kelly to play paintball in Brazil, in Germany. What the hell?
My other question is, was it Marv Heimowitz? You know what, Dietrich, I can't get you out of this chat, man. It doesn't give you any option.
Well, the next time we break, I'll bump out of it and try to get back in.
Dan. Well, you know what? I'm gonna call it quits and quit on everybody for this.
Well, before you go,
I wanted to give
you guys a little comedy relief. This is going to be my TNB selection for tonight. And this is the title of the freepress.com.
Get ready, Michigan.
The Fatburger is on its way. Southern California's cult fave Fatburger hamburger chain is coming to Michigan this summer. Courtesy of Detroit criminal law and entertainment attorney Jerome Barney. The first Fatburger opened in L.A. in 1952. When home cook Lovey Yancey opened a no-frills stand to sell the thick, juicy burgers she had been frying at home for friends.
Niggas like they meat thick, you know.
Niggas like they fat burger, yo. I was like, damn, I was sitting here thinking.
You know what, it'll never succeed, though.
Are you kidding me?
There's no way it'll succeed. Well, no, here in the way they, well, I don't know if they do it in other places, but, you know, you have to actually make your own burger, so to speak. You think fucking a nigger's going to take the time to do that shit?
That's
come on,
point.
Let's, you know?
Dude, it's like a nigger's dream. I'm surprised it hasn't been in Detroit yet. It's like, come on.
Yeah, that is a great sound clip there. That's pretty funny, but I'm actually going to I'm calling the show off. And please don't throw that on. I'm echoing here. Master, turn it off.
Turn what off?
I got it. Sorry.
Somebody had me. I
damn, it's always my fault. Damn.
I mean, I blame the Polak, dude. I'm racist.
But they just be holding me down and shit.
I'm gonna, you know, we plan on doing this show for an hour and a half or so. I think we're running into 2.5 hours, which is good. Or no, it's about 2 hours, so it's perfect. I'm definitely gonna get some sleep. I still have work tomorrow. You guys can keep going if you want. I don't think you'll miss me. I know Dietrich. I know you're sitting there in the airport. God bless you for getting on tonight and doing your show. Tony, you are the fucking man.
No, I don't know about that. You guys.
Yeah, big hand for Tony, everybody, tonight. Thanks for Free Talk Live tonight, Mr. Tony.
You're too kind. You guys are too kind.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. You know, I called Tony up kind of out of the blue, and I was like, come on, we're going on. He's like, well, shit, I'm ready, man. Boom, bang. He had the music playing. And 20 minutes later, we're on, so...
Yeah, that's what's cool about Tony. If he's got time, he's up for it. He's up for it, whatever. So.
We need more.
We need people to come forward. Tell us what your talents are, you know? I mean, I'm talking to you. You, right now. I'm talking to you. You got talents. Get in touch with one of us. If you do Photoshop, do Photoshop. Send Alex some photos. If you do, you know, media or something, or if you hear something interesting on a podcast you get, you know, tell us about it or send us the clip, man. Little stuff. I mean, this is the journey of a billion steps.
Absolutely.
Hey, before we sign off, can we discuss this thing in Baltimore where I guess the city council wants to give the mayor the power to lock down fucked up nigger neighborhoods?
Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah. Have you seen the YouTube videos where these guys are, these niggers are riding down the street?
It sounds like he has to go right now. So
okay.
Do you want to stick for five and talk about this lockdown, or do you want to?
Yeah, I'll hang out.
Oh, okay, all right, good. And then we'll all scoot, or whatever y'all want to do. Okay, anyway, sorry, my bad. Go ahead. Lockdown neighborhoods. Sounds like a good idea.
Well, yeah, the thing about it is that I don't know if anybody's ever been to Baltimore, but that place is fucked up. You know, it's like there's no. Wrong side of the tracks. It's all the wrong side of the tracks. That's the entire city.
It's kind
of
like Camden, except it's a little better. But yeah,
oh,
right.
See, I didn't know that. Okay, I didn't get it. So the sum of all fears was actually a happy ending.
No, but like, if you're in Baltimore, if you're in Camden Yards, you're safe. That's the only little section. Or if you're in the Hyatt, and that's it.
Well, the police station.
Yeah, it's actually the harbor, I guess, is the only place that all that's wrapped up right in that area. Yeah, you go outside of out of Baltimore Harbor and it's just like Hannah, dude. It's fucked
why
up.
Why is that? Because the niggas don't like to swim and shit.
I guess so. No, man, they got a great probably the best aquarium I've ever seen is in Baltimore Harbor though. But yeah, you know niggas, they be like afraid of them sharks and shit. You know what I mean?
Hey guys, I got this recording of this black guy taking a mass test. It was really interesting. You guys hear that?
Sounds like he's taking a shit.
Yeah, well, he might as well have been.
All right, but anyway, so Mark, where did you hear about this anyway? This what you're talking about?
Well, it was in the news somewhat. I guess it was it happened yesterday, Thursday, you know. And under I can read some of it. Desperate measures are needed when we're in desperate situations. City Council Vice President Robert Curran told the Baltimore Sun. He said he would introduce the legislation next week. So that's like this upcoming week. Under Curran's plan, the mayor would declare public safety act zones. Whatever the hell that means. Which will allow police to close liquor stores and bars. Fuck, they're asking for a riot. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, they are.
Limit the number of people on sidewalks and halt traffic during 2-week intervals. Oh, shit, the niggers are going to burn that fucking town to the ground. Yo, man, I can't get my 40. Damn, boy, I just got my check. Shit.
Dietrich.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to know, do you want any of these sounds I have, too?
Dude, I want them all. I want to put them into a really nice, I've got a soundboard idea in my head that it's going to be stellar.
I think this is the best chimp noise ever. It does not get better than that.
Dang. Do that again. Do it again. Play it.
Don't lie, baby.
Dude, that's really good.
And you can even have one to like shout out to your white guys. To all the white wolves out there.
Dude, that chimp sound, it sounds like it was made to be racist. That's just terrible.
Hey, you motherfucker, you!
But yeah,
so nobody can invite me to the other chat room. I must have, my settings must have AIDS or something.
You know what happened is that you must have left that chat because that was the chat that you and I were doing before the show, before any of this.
And nobody can drag me into the air?
You're already in it, man. I'm telling you.
Oh,
yeah, same thing happens to me all the time, DJ.
You're there.
But I don't get it either. Yeah.
Oh, wait, you know what?
It's like a reflection or a ripple or something.
What's the name of the chat room?
Bosses.
No,
I'm in that one.
Oh.
It's VNN show chat, and then it has today's date, 5/18/07. Well, I guess that was yesterday's date, as of now.
Shoot. Bummer. I want to see everybody in there, like, ragging on me. No, I like to see. They're funny, man. Some funny stuff comes up in those.
Well, when you have Rob in there, it's just nonstop nuggetry all day.
Nonstop nuggetry all day and night. And you know what the best part is the show will end up in like 5 minutes, and then I'll turn on Skype tomorrow, and it'll be nuggetry from Rob until about like 3 a.m.
I think the Aussie government pays him to eschew his nuggetry.
He needs to write a... Rob, if I know you're listening, Rob, you need to... you need to write your nuggetry your nugget memoirs, and
you motherfucker, you.
We need some nugget monologues, dude. You know, to play before the show. I think it's important, you know. And I have a great monologue, by the way. As long as Tony can play it without cutting half of it off for this coming Tuesday,
I'll take care of that.
Tony gets like 99% of everything right. He misses a couple of your gay little syllables, and like he needs to work on something all of a sudden. No, in all seriousness, I really like your monologues. I'm not just blowing smoke. I think it's a good idea to put them at the beginning because you get people listening early. I've tried to do the same thing with the news clips and sound files of the little intro song I play with the new news clips, but apparently it hasn't caught on. So...
Well, you know what the
I love your beginning to the show, by the way. I think it's fucking genius.
Fantastic.
But those monologues, keep in mind, I write those when I'm in a different state of mind. I mean,
You can tell, too. You record them that way, too, don't you?
Yeah,
I record them on the road or whatever.
I write those when I'm really, really... I'm either really pissed off or I'm just completely embroiled in white nationalism to the point where I can't function on... I can't even... conceive of anything else at the moment, so that's when I usually write them. And I wrote one at work the other day when I was trying to work. And I just couldn't do it. I was just sitting there, and because you know how you get when you're white national. I mean, there's times of the day where activism is the only thing that comes across your mind, and or just an experience you had. You know what I mean? And so that's just keep that in mind, everybody. When you hear those, I mean, when I write those, it really is coming from the heart. I mean, I
can tell. I think they're really well done, and I don't think you can't really write like that when it's not coming from the heart. So,
I know my English isn't the best. I'm not like a super scholar like a lot of the guys are, but you know, it's. I encourage everybody to do it when you're having those moments. Write it down, man. Write down your thoughts. Write down what you think needs to be done, and record it. We should have if anybody does that, I'll put it on the show blog.
Yeah, or send us the text and say don't say who wrote this, but whatever, or say hey, mention that I wrote this, you know, if you want to read it. You know, I'm serious. The threshold is very low. We need content. We need input. We're asking for help, and that's all the way around. You know, it really is all the way around. I mean,
you know, Brutus.
All of us need to shift away from being mere observers and go into being nodes on this conspiracy for a better future.
Yep, and
all
you know,
of us to be leaders. Yeah.
You know, and Brutus. You know, Brutus will have a post every now and then that will just be so it'll like stir emotions in me sometimes. You know, it'll be a couple paragraphs, and I always think to myself, man, like you know, I've even been tempted to record some of his. And just give him the credit for it. But Brutus, I mean, if you're listening, when you get on your emotional rampage, and when you analyze, you know, something else that one of us said, and you do it so well, please, you know, let me know if I can read those off and record them. I know I've said it before, and I didn't get around to doing it some of the time. But who else does that? Billy Bob.
Yep.
Billy Bob goes off. Yeah.
I mean,
and he has a blog too, by the way, which I would encourage Brutus to do. And,
yeah, absolutely. Billy Bob.
That's the cool thing about blogging now. You don't have to, you don't have to put an entry in every day. If you come up with something that you want to write down once a month, that's the new style now. Do it once a month. Do it twice a year. You don't. It's not something that you need to maintain constantly all the time anymore. It's not how it works anymore. It's nice if you have that much content, but it doesn't need to be that way. So don't let that be your, you know, what's stopping you from blogging.
But the real key to blogging is to link your blogs to other blogs, link them to everything that relates to what we talk about. Build it, which it's all that's going to do is build our Google power.
and that's really what we need to do.
Yeah,
keep everything
when we
linked
to
together,
each other.
When you search one thing, when you search something, bam.
And we also create kind of a dialectic. I mean, and feel free to, criticize and, anything that I write or anything like that. Please do. I mean, this is how the youths do it, man. They come in and they'll criticize little things here and there, and they get this, they make the happening be about them, but it all kind of goes in their direction. So, jump in the fray. Talk about the stuff we talk about. Criticize it. Say, he could have done this better. I mean, I'm saying that at least for me, and I don't think anybody else would be real opposed to that. I mean, get a blog or write about, hey, I like this and I don't like this. It not only does it make us better, but it really does. It gives us a dialectic where everyone, all of us, all the guys who kind of believe in the same basic stuff that we do, we get in there and we jump in the fray and we're all talking about this stuff. And it's kind of it kind of creates a happening around which others gravitate to, just because we have so much going on. We have so much intellectual and rhetorically going back and forth, and it's fun for people to observe, and they really think that you've got something going on, and that's all it is. There's nothing more to it. You don't need a high rise. You don't need $1 million studios. You can look like you really got stuff going on if you got that dialectic going and you got people talking about what you're doing and even kind of criticizing what you're doing and saying, they could do this better or whatever. Y'all know what I mean? Am I just
absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, so jump in the fray. Start a blog or post on the message board. Hey, they were talking about this. I wish they would have mentioned this, and this. Trust me, I won't take it as bad. I might jump in and say, yeah, good point, or I didn't mention that because I was going in this direction or something. But what we do is you fuel the dialectic and you move it forward, and we create energy there, and we create content, and you get people reading it, and you get that reinforced people going back to it to see more new content about interesting stuff. And damn it, I mean, before you know it, you got more people, and it just feeds on itself. And it builds from there. That's what DNN's done so well so far. So let's just keep taking it to the next level. I appreciate the hell out of all these guys that come help out. I mean, even though it may not sound like it, I even appreciate you, and you know who you are, who's messaging me going, are you doing a show? Are you doing a show? Are you doing a show? I appreciate it. Even though I may have said, I'm doing like 400,000 other things. You eventually made me think, instead of taking a nap on a bench out here in the airport, you made me find a little quiet as I could call.
Dietrich? Oh,
he was
just pulling you back in.
He was starting to get a little choppy. Wow, that sucks, because he was on a good rant.
Yeah, he was on a roll.
Master just dropped too.
I wonder what this is. Let's see.
Probably that,
Yeah.
You back?
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. That might have been Yield wooden hook from Skype. Telling me to wind it down or something, but yeah, I was just saying, I appreciate the hell out of all you guys, and more than ever, it couldn't be done without y'all, and I want to say thanks again to Tony for being there,
man.
For us all.
That's
and,
enough. Thank you.
I mean, just like Tony, y'all, he jumped right in, and look, it's a matter of weeks later, he's helping putting the site back on its feet, he's doing Photoshops for the Chanted Christian Rally, and signs, and stuff I don't even know about, and he's hosting Free Talk Live. I mean, he is a great guy, but he's just one guy, and look at all the stuff that he's doing. So jump in. I mean, you don't know how much that little bit of help will indeed help, I mean, hey, the enemy does it. That's how they're on top.
Well, thank you very much, Dietrich.
Yes, and Dietrich, we all appreciate you too, man.
Absolutely.
Because, like I've told you before over and over again, that I'd rather listen to your show than go out on a Friday night. And I'm 23
Same
years
here.
Old, so...
Same here.
You know,
well, that
says
a lot.
That goes
man.
For everybody, man.
Because I know how pretty you can see some women, so, and I still think you should do that and then listen to the archive, but that's just me.
Well, yeah, man.
Hey, how come we can't get
Alex
on our show, man?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never really tried, to be honest. I don't really bother Alex too much because, from what I understand, he's got a million people nagging him from every direction. And you know, if he wants to come on, it would be great. I'd love it. I know he listens to us, whether it be archives or live, because I do hear him refer to our show. But Alex, I mean, if you're listening, you know, we'd love you to come on at least this, you know, come on this Tuesday before the rally. You got to plug that as much as you can, and you know. Everybody, you know, Alex, Stan, Jim, everybody's, Dietrich, you know, thanks for kind of showing us the ropes here with the show and getting us up and running.
Absolutely.
It's a very exciting thing for me. I can tell everybody that. I mean, I'm super excited. I'm so fired up on Tuesdays before the show. I mean, my co-host will tell you, I'm a complete energy ball right before the show. I'm calling everybody. I'm trying to get everybody together. I'm trying to fire everybody up, and we're all like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it's exciting stuff, man, and everybody should get involved. You know, Dietrich's completely right. Everybody should be getting involved. You should do your little part. If you have material and you don't want to get on the air and you just want it to be known, we will give you credit. Give us the material. We would love that. You know, we want monologues, we want recordings, we want news, all that shit, man. We need it all.
Looking for content.
And we have that this group of listeners, everybody that's listening right now, you guys are really the backbone, because you're the ones that will spread the word about the show. You're the ones that give up your time to listen to us retards, you know, ramble on and on, and not retards. I mean, you know, everything we do here has a purpose and a point. And, you know, again, just like Dietrich said, you know, Tony, I called Tony. I said, yo, I said, you know, I know it's tough and it'd be nice to relax right now, but we got to keep this ball rolling, man. Dietrich's in a bad way. He can't,
oh, yeah,
he can't
nothing,
do it. Let's
nothing
do it.
To it.
Tony was like, I'm on
yeah,
board.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anytime.
You know, and Tony was, you were on board, and I was on board, and Master was calling me all day. You know, are we going to do this? And I left Mark a voicemail on his home phone, and sure enough, as soon as he got home, he comes. You know, everybody here is dedicated, and it's a good thing. So I'm going to quit my rambling now and just say goodnight and ask everybody to tune in Tuesday. I'll make sure to have, more TWB than you can shake a stick at. Going to be some serious typical white behavior. It's going to be one of the last shows before the rally. It's going to be our last show before the rally, so we want to pay close attention to the rally and go over, see if the Associated Press has any more damning, miserable fucking articles about it and us, and, you know, let's get pissed off and let's stick it to the Jew people. And this Panzerfaust, and I'm calling on you people to get active and tune in Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
And thanks.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
It
doesn't
look like anybody else is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're dropped.
Doesn't look like they're going to make it on, man. We'll just wrap the show up.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
On May 26th at 3 p.m. in Knoxville, Tennessee, join us for an event the controlled media can't ignore. The Rally for Shannon Christian and Chris Newsom. Log on to VNNforum.com for more information.
Vanguard News Network.
We are the...
Vanguard Radio. No Jews. Just right.
This concludes another broadcast day at Vanguard News Network. Tune in tomorrow for more great programming. Good night.